Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right, we are wrapping up this series today. And if you haven't been here for a while, let me kind of explain what the series is all about. We started this series at the beginning of August called This Is How We Do It. And basically the point of this series was to sort of talk about some of the things, some of the core values, some of the ways that, Wellspring might be a little different than other churches you might have attended or other churches in the area. It doesn't mean we're better than other churches. It just means we're different than other churches because I believe specifically we are called to reach other people, maybe different people than other churches are called to reach. And so basically what we've been doing is I've been talking about some core values that distinguish us. And it's not really values like, you know, I hope all churches believe in Jesus and all churches believe Jesus is the way. It's kind of the way we're going to act. And what I've really done in this series, I've tried to envision, okay, if I could sit down with all the new people that have come to our church over the last 6 to 8 months and have coffee with them, what would I want them to know? And that's really what this series has been about. And we're wrapping it up today, so very briefly, I kind of want to give you a, kind of walk you through where we've been so you'll kind of know where we're going, right? So we started week one, and this was our first core value, right? It says that we will be known for what we are for. And what that basically meant is that we won't be known for what we are against. See, unfortunately, a lot of churches right now are known for what they are against. Churches are against other people. They're against certain groups. They're against political parties. They're against this and they're against that. And that's a problem because Jesus was never against any of those things. Jesus was just for people. And he says we're supposed to be known for what we are for, not what we are against. And so that's what we try to do as a church. We want to be known for the fact that we love Myrtle Beach and that we love people and that we serve people. We're going to give back to people. And we trust God to change their hearts. So we're going to be known for what we are for. And then the next value we talked about, that we are rescued people who rescue people. See, this is what I think the purpose of the church is, right? We are rescued people. We did not rescue ourselves. Jesus came to earth to rescue us. So the church is a collection of rescued people whose job it is to rescue people. So we're rescued people who rescue people. That's our job. The next one, we invite people to belong before they believe. Now, what that means is because we are rescued people who rescue people, because we didn't rescue ourselves, we realize that other people can't rescue themselves as well. So we invite anyone and everyone to come and join and be a part of our group before they believe what we believe. That means you can come in, you can sit in our rows, you can listen to the sermons, you can even serve in some capacities. You can be a part of what we do before you believe everything we believe, before you believe anything we believe, actually. You don't have to believe that Jonah actually lived 3 days inside of a whale. You don't have to believe that the earth is only 6,000 years old. You don't have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God to hang out with us. You don't have to do it because we invite people to belong before they believe. There are no barriers to entry. And the reason we believe this is because we are fully convinced that the longer you hang around us and the more you are around these people that I believe love Jesus with all their heart and are trying to serve him and follow him, that God himself is going to change your mind about God and you're going to set it for yourself to believe all those things. It's not my job to change your mind, it's God's. So we invite people to belong before they believe. And then last week we kind of talked about the next step, that we believe circles are better than rows. And what that basically meant is, once you have come to Wellspring, once you've kind of started to kick the tires, and once you've kind of decided you like this place, our goal is to move you past the rows, which is where you are right now. Rows are great, rows are fantastic. Rows are where we learn about Jesus. Circles are where we become like Jesus. See, we think life change happens in circles, not rows. Life change happens in groups. And so our desire is to move you past sitting in these rows and to join a group, a serving group, a community group, some kind of group where you are walking with men and women just like you who are trying to follow God just like you, where you can talk to each other, you can serve, you can use your gifts together. And we believe that is super important for becoming like Jesus, which is really the whole point. So that's what we talked about last week. That's kind of where we've been. And today, we're going to pick right up and we're kind of going to end it. And you actually just sort of experienced a piece of our last value when we did the offering. You notice that I said it's time to take our offering and you all dutifully clap because we've taught you to do that and it's fantastic and we all clap. And I almost titled this value, We Clap for the Offering. That was going to be the title. But then I decided that was too limiting because what we're going to talk about today, it has stuff to do with giving. It has to do with generosity, but it's really bigger than that. It's bigger than just something we do in here and clapping for the offering. So let me go ahead and show you. This is our core value. This is the fifth one we're going to talk about today. It's the fact that at Wellspring, we get to give. We get to give. Now, when you read that, there's a couple of ways you could see it, right? You could see this as we get to give, meaning everything we get, we're supposed to give away. Now, you could also read it as we get to give. Like, we don't have to give. It's not a burden. It's something we get to do, right? So at Wellspring, which way is it? Which way are we going to say this is a core value of our church? Well, both. It's both. We believe that everything we have is a gift from God and that we get it so that we can bless others. And we also believe that we get to do it, that it's a privilege, that it's not something to complain about, it's not something to whine about, it's something we enjoy doing. We believe that we get to give. Now, here's the cool thing about being the pastor for this long is I know many of you, and I know some of you, you're tracking with me. Like, I just say the phrase, we get to give, and you're like, I get that. Yeah, I know what that means. Okay, yeah, you're right. I'm in. Others of you are like, man, I don't know, dude. What does that mean? Like, it's okay. I'm gonna explain it. Because here's what I think. I think that this principle really can set you free when it comes to being a Christ follower. And let me explain what I mean. When we can get this principle that we get to give, it will make our life better. Let me make it very clear. It will not make God like us more. It will not make God love us more. It would not make God happier with us. It would not make God more pleased with us. God can't love us more than he loves us. But guess what? You and I can love God a whole lot more. And the more we embrace this principle that we get to give, the more we're going to fall in love with God. So if you're confused about where I'm going today, just hang with me because it's really going to be fantastic. And I truly believe you embrace this principle in your life, it'll change you completely. Now, if you're here today and you don't believe in God, which, let me just say, I'm so glad you're here. We love as a church that we have people that will attend that do not believe what we believe. You think we are crazy. We're sitting in a gym, pretending it's not a gym. We're singing songs. We're sitting in chairs that really aren't that comfortable, right? Like, they're not. I'm sorry. You want better chairs than you can give, and we'll have better chairs. You can buy your own. I didn't say that first service. This could be fun. But if you're here today, you don't believe in God. Here's the cool thing about what we're going to talk about today. You are completely off the hook. If you don't believe in God, you don't have to do a thing I'm going to talk about today. You get to just sit back and watch the Christian squirm. It'll be fantastic. But here's what I want to challenge you to do. If you're here today and you don't believe in God, you're here because somebody invited you, or you know somebody on stage, or you kind of wandered into the Y to work out and saw some free donuts and said, this looks cool. Whatever it is while you're here, here's my plea to you today. Even if you don't believe in God, I'm going to ask you to pay attention and kind of lean in, because here's what I believe. I think your picture of the God you don't believe in is wrong. I'm just going to assume it. The picture of the God you don't believe in is a God who's sitting up in a right row with a beard, holding a lightning bolt, waiting to catch you in a mistake so he can zap you. Right? That's not God. And the picture we're going to paint today, not our own image, but the picture that the Bible itself paints of God, is completely different. And I believe when you hear what he's actually done for us, you might, I'm not saying you will, but you might change your mind about God. So I hope you will kind of lean in. And for nothing else, again, just watch the Christian squirm. It's going to be fantastic. So what we're going to do is I want to kind of explain to you why it is I believe, and we as a church believe, that we get to give. Why it's such a big deal to us. And to do that, we're going to look at basically the Old Testament and the New Testament. We're going to look at a story from the Old Testament and two passages from the New Testament. For those of you who may not be familiar, the Old Testament and the New Testament are the two sections of what we call our Bible, which is a collection of works written by men over the course of about 3,000 or 4,000 years. And we believe God spoke through these men, and we can now read them and know what God wants us to know. And the Old Testament is about 2/3 of the Bible, and it tells the story of creation, and then God basically choosing one people, the nation of Israel, to use it as example for the whole world, to say, this is the value of following me. If you will follow me with your life, this is what will happen. And we see Israel following God sometimes. We see them not following God sometimes. And then we have the New Testament. God basically decides, okay, I'm gonna do something different. I'm going to send one guy to make it to where everybody can follow me and everybody can have a relationship directly with me. And he sent Jesus. And the New Testament tells the story of Jesus. We have four biographies. The first four books of the New Testament are four biographies of Jesus' life. Then we have a history of the early church. And then we have a bunch of letters written by many of Jesus' closest followers that again, tells us about what happened in the first century and shows us how we can live our life. And the story we're going to look at today in the Old Testament is about a man named Abraham. And some of you have heard of Abraham. If you grew up in church, maybe, you know, especially if you went to Bible school, you might know this song, you know, Father Abraham and many sons. Anyone? Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Remember that? To the guest, I'm sorry. I'm really not. That's what we do. You probably sang that song. You thought it was so fun. I'll make a confession. Till I was about 10 years old, I thought it was about Abraham Lincoln. And I was always confused why we singing about Abraham Lincoln. Good guy and all, but he ain't my dad. And then I found out, Abraham. And the reason was because Abraham was the father of the nation of Israel. See, God chose Abraham, and he basically said, okay, if you will follow me, I'm going to move through you, and I'm going to basically change the world through you. That's what he did. Abraham was the father of the nation of Israel, and eventually Jesus himself was born from the nation of Israel, all because Abraham decided to follow God. And in Genesis 12, which is where Abraham was called, we see an interesting thing. We see Abraham's call, but then God also kind of says something else. It's really going to direct us to where we want to go today. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis 12. It's going to be up on the screen just like always. And this is what God says to Abraham. He says, the Lord said to Abram, at this time he was called Abram. He later became Abraham. God just liked to change people's names sometimes, but it's the same God. The Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. You know what that means? That means he did not give Abraham a map. He said, go, and then I'll show. You got to take a step first. That's why it's called faith. It's the same thing he asked us to do today. God says, hey, I want you to trust me. I want you to follow me. I'm not going to show you all the answers yet. I want you to trust. I mean, Abraham took that step. Abraham trusted God. And here's what God promised to do for Abraham. He says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. Well, now we're talking, right? Gonna bless you, gonna make you famous. And some of you are thinking, this is my kind of church. I'm excited. This kind of church, they're gonna make it rain. I'm gonna be famous and all that kind of stuff. Well, that's what he said. That's what happens to Abraham. God's like, man, I will bless you. I'm going to make you famous. I'm going to take care of you. All you got to do is follow me. And we're all like, yes, God, give me that deal right now. I'll take it. But look, you can't miss this because this is everything. He says, I'll make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. Here's what he's saying. He said, Abraham, I want you to follow me. And if you follow me, I'm going to do things through you never thought possible. If you follow me, your life is going to be more satisfying and more fulfilled than you ever imagined, and you're going to have blessings like you can't dream of. But if the blessings stop with you, you've made a huge mistake. The blessings come to you, but they don't move through you to transform the world around you. You, my friend, have dropped the ball. He's saying, Abraham, you have been blessed to be a blessing. If you've grown up in church, you've heard that before. And some of us have heard it so much it's kind of become a cliche. Kind of, oh, whatever. But it's so true. The same thing true for Abraham is true for us. We are blessed to be a blessing. The only reason God was interested in making him into a great nation, to bless him and to make him famous, was so that he would bless others. God says, I'm not giving this to you just to make your life better. I'm giving this to you so that because of you, others are better. Other lives are better as well. And so Abraham knew this, and he actually lived this out. He knew he was blessed to be a blessing. And today, we are blessed to be a blessing. The things we receive from God, we are to give to others. We are to share with others. We are blessed to be a blessing. Now, you may be wondering, okay, so what are our blessings from God? What do we get from God? What are we supposed to share with other people? And my answer, because it's Jesus' answer, everything. What? You want to push back? Well, Trey, that's not true. Not true. Not everything. Jesus didn't go to work on Saturday like I did. Jesus didn't do that. I did that. Really? You think so? Remember that deal a few months ago that was dead? And there was no way it was going to work out. And then at the last hour, your words, not mine. It miraculously came together. Remember that? Who do you think does miracles? It ain't you. You wouldn't have said miraculously if you did it. See, I think every single aspect of our life is affected by God. And I think he blesses every single aspect of it. In fact, I think everything we have in our life is a gift from him. And I don't believe it because it sounds fun or because it's my opinion. I believe it because Jesus says so. And he says so in the most famous verse in the entire Bible. All of you that do the Father Abraham song, you know John 3:16 as well. We all have heard John 3:16. Even if you don't believe in God, you have seen somebody at a football game holding up a poster that said John 3:16, and you thought, what is that? And the reason they're holding it up, because they hope you're going to Google it and you're going to read it, because it is the clearest, most succinct explanation of what God did for us. I want to throw it up on the screen. Let's look at it. For John 3:16 says, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." I memorized this verse when I was 6 years old. I've known it my entire life. I can quote it like you quote the Pledge of Allegiance. It has a cadence to it. And a lot of times we can even see this verse and not even understand what it means. So what I want to do very quick is I want to break it down real quick. We'll start at the beginning. It says, "For God loved the world so much that he," what? "He gave." It doesn't say God loved the world so much that he sold us something. It doesn't say he loved the world so much that he lent us something that we needed to return to him. It says God loved the world so much that he gave. What did he give? His one and only Son. Parents, can you think of anything more valuable to give? No, I don't mean at 3 a.m. when they're screaming. I mean when they're good. Can you think of anything? And dude didn't even have an extra. It wasn't like he had 3 and said, "Take one." You've thought it. If you have more than 2 kids, you've thought it. So don't sit there and, "I can't believe he said that." You've thought it. His one and only Son. His one and only Son. He gave. Why? Don't miss this. So that everyone who believes in him will not perish. That's a big word. Will not perish, but will have eternal life. I say this all the time. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, isn't that we were bad and Jesus came to make us good. It's that we were dead and Jesus came to give us life. That's what this verse is saying, that Jesus was God's gift to us, that God loved us so much that he freely gave his only Son, everything he had, to give us life. I think of it this way. He gave all he had to give us all we have. Just think about that for a minute. He gave all he had to give us all we have. And yes, I mean all we have, because without Jesus, we're dead. Separated from him on earth and doomed to hell because of our sin, because of our mistakes, because of our rebellion that separate us from God. But God sent his Son to fix that, to heal that. He gave all he had to give us all we have. And now I know what you're thinking. Yeah, but Trey, he's God. How can our standard be God's standard? How can we be expected to give what God's given? Yeah, God gave everything to us, and that's nice, and he gave me everything I have, but I can't be willing to give all my... No, I can't do that. Well, I would agree with you if Matthew 10:8 didn't exist, but it does. And see, here's what Jesus says about our generosity. He says we should give as freely as you have received. See, I love this. Because we freely receive. I freely receive. You freely receive. Some of you are going to go to lunch today, and your friend's going to offer to pick up the check. And you're going to freely receive. Now, you might do the whole fake going for your wallet at the last. Oh, no. Thank you. I will get you next time. And they're thinking, no, you won't. It's been 20 next time. Or maybe you wait, they bring the bill, and you play that game where, you wait till they put their credit card in, and when she gets it, and then you, try to grab for it, but you make sure your arms are really short, like Tyrannosaurus Rex arms, you can't quite reach it. You're like, oh! They're sitting like, I know what you did. See, we love to freely receive. There's not a one of you that's walking to work on Tuesday morning. Not a one of you walking to work Tuesday morning. Your boss calls you in. You're doing a great job. I want to give you a $5,000 bonus right now, and I want to give you a 50% raise starting tomorrow. Not a one of you is going to say, I don't know about that. I don't know it. Can we afford that? Are you sure? No. You're going to say, thank you, and probably about time. See, we freely receive. We got no problem freely receiving. We love to receive. And all Jesus is saying is as freely as you receive, give. When it comes in, just be willing to take it out. As freely as you receive, be willing to give. And as I said, what do we get from God? Everything. So what should we be willing to share? Everything. Now, this is where we have to talk about how I didn't call it, we clap for the offering. The reason I didn't call it this is because it's bigger than just financial giving. Some of you grew up like me. You grew up in church. I have been attending church my entire life. I don't ever remember a time in my life where the church wasn't part of what we did and where we went. And especially when I turned 9 years old, we moved to another town and I started becoming Baptist. And that was where I was taught to tithe. I've been tithing since I was 9 years old. I believe 10 or 11 was the first birthday or Christmas where people made the transition from giving me plastic to giving me money. And it was a great transition. I'm in favor of it. But this was the first time I'd ever received money in my life. And I tithed. My parents said, you got to give 10% of that to God. I was like, okay. I didn't know. It was like $100 total. So I gave him 10. I was like, well, that was easy. Okay. I've literally never in my life received a paycheck, received any kind of financial anything to me that God did not get 10% of. I would not know what to do with that 10%. It has been a part of my life forever. And I know for some of you in the room, that's your same story. It's easy for you. You don't have to think about it. And I know for some of you in the room, you've never done it before. And so you're like, 10%, what in the world? You know, so I get I get it. But for some of us, man, it's not a deal. We've always lived on 90%. We don't know any different. Now, the reason I say that is this. There are some people, even at this church, who they cut that check for that 10%. I mean, boom, no problem. Cutting it. Yeah, I love God. Cut it. You got it, man. You got it. Give my 10% back. Give my 10. But then they think their giving is done. That's it. That's all the generosity they need in their life because they gave back their 10%. And financially is the only way they give. But I'd ask this question. Financially speaking, is that the only way you receive? Are the only gifts you receive from God financial? Is that the only way He blesses you? Is that the only way that He provides for you is just money? What about love? What about forgiveness? What about grace? What about the gifts and talents He gave you to give you the ability to go to work and make the money? What about the talents? What about those things? Are you as free to give those away as you are to cut that check? Because I'm told to give as freely as I've received. And so if I've only received financially, then that's only what I should give back. But if I receive love and grace and forgiveness and mercy and compassion and talent and skills, then I should be giving those away as well. I should be sharing those as well. I should be sharing my time. I should be sharing my gifts and talents. I should be sharing my mercy and my love and my compassion with my friend and family and my neighbor and my coworker. I should be forgiving as freely as I've been forgiven. I should be seeking to understand other people as freely, as much as God has sought to understand me. Do you know what God did to understand you? He sent his son to live here for 3 years, to walk in your shoes, to understand every struggle you'll ever have in your life, so he could understand you better and serve you better. That's what he gave us. Are we doing that for other people? Are we doing that for the umpire at our kids' sporting events? Are we seeking to understand them and give to them as freely as God's given to us? Are we seeking to understand that tourist in Costco that's walking so slow? Because they're on vacation. You got 3 kids and got to get home. What about our kids' teachers? What about our across-the-street neighbor that always parks our car in our grass? What about the other neighbor that doesn't even cut their grass? That's why you need the HOA on speed dial. See, there's a problem when we freely receive, but we don't give. Because we're going to continue to freely receive because God loves you and he gives freely. But when we only receive and we don't give, something really bad happens. How many of you ever heard of the Dead Sea? None of you. Okay, well, this is going to be a great illustration. You've heard of the Dead Sea. Come on. You're like, are you afraid? You sang a song earlier. You won't raise your hand. The Dead Sea. You probably maybe have some skin products from there. Maybe somebody in the mall has like chased you down to buy skin products from there. Well, this is the Dead Sea. It's somewhere in the Mideast. It's a beautiful. Look at it. It's just gorgeous. But do you know why it's called the Dead Sea? Because it's dead. Because nothing lives. Again, they were really good at naming stuff over there. It's the Dead Sea. Nothing can live in the Dead Sea. Do you know why? It's because things flow in and they don't flow out. The Dead Sea receives water and receives and receives water. And that water is filled with minerals, over 35 minerals that are crucial to life. Important things, special things. But you know what? There's no outlet for the Dead Sea. It doesn't continue downstream. It doesn't continue to the ocean. It stops right there. There's no flow. It receives, but doesn't give. And so what happens is it sits there, and the sun's very hot, and it evaporates the water. But the minerals stay. And now that water is so dense and so filled with minerals and so salty that nothing can survive. And when we become a people that freely receive the gifts of God, but never ever look to actually bless others and to extend that love and grace and mercy and forgiveness, what can happen is we ourselves can become spiritually dead. We can become spiritually ineffective. Doesn't mean God loves us less. It just means we are useless. Because there's no fruit. Maybe you've heard Paul talk about those love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, those are fruits. Those are things that God gives us that he wants us to then give others and to extend to others and to share with others. And if you are a person that gives but never receives, I'm sorry, that receives but never gives, that it flows into you but it never flows out of you, you become as ineffective as a dead sea. And no fruit can grow there. Which is why at Wellspring, we want to be a place that gives as freely as we receive. We acknowledge everything comes from God. And we acknowledge what he explained to Abraham, that we are blessed to be a blessing. That the reason we receive these things is so that God can move through us to change the world. So we get to give. Now, we also, as I said earlier, we believe that we get to give. It's not something that's a burden to us. It's not something that's a struggle. It's something we get to do. And honestly, the reason we believe that is because that is the logical outflow of what we just talked about. the logical outflow of, wait, I was dead and now I'm alive and God's blessed me with all these things and God wants to use me to change the world around me. Dude, I get to do this. I don't have to do this. I'm not supposed to do this. I'm not going to pout about doing this. I get to do this because God decided to save me. Now, here's my question for you. What do you think would happen if in your life you adopted a get-to mentality? What would happen? What would happen the next Sunday when I walk up here and say, hey, Wellspring, it's time to take our offering, and y'all clap, and some people clap, and others are like, this is so stupid, but I'm going to clap because I don't look stupid, but I'll be clap, I don't understand it, I just want my money, I just want my money. What would happen if when the basket's passed, what would happen if when you wrote that check, when you went online, instead of, oh, I have to do this, man, oh, this is awful, what if you thought instead, man, I get to do this. God has blessed me so much, I get to do this. I have so much money, I get to give some of it back to him. Man, that's awesome. What if the next time you're presented with an opportunity to serve, to invite? We're just talking about the soccer event in a couple of weeks. What if instead of saying, man, that's a Saturday and it's going to be football that day and the kids are going to be having soccer, I don't have any time to do all this stuff. What if instead you thought, man, this is an opportunity to reach people in Myrtle Beach that don't know, man, we get to do this. God saved me. He made time to save me. So what? Man, I get to be a part of this. And I get to work with kids. And I get to influence the spiritual development of their life. They're learning the lessons that are going to change them forever. I get to be a part of this. I get to set the table in the parking lot and up front. And I get to greet people. I get to talk to the guy whose wife drug him here and he is ticked and he has no desire to be here. And I get to help break that wall. I get to change his mind about God today. I get to stand in the room and try to convince people to sit in the front instead of in the back. I get to do that. What would happen if the next time you were presented with an opportunity to be generous with your finances or with your time or with your talent, with your forgiveness, with your mercy, with your grace, what would happen instead of saying, I have to do this or I'm supposed to do this? What if you could simply change the dialogue in your head, change one word to, I get to do this? What do you think would happen? Let me ask it this way. What would happen if your spouse adopted a get-to mentality? That's a lot more exciting, isn't it? What if your kids adopted a get-to mentality? Oh, Dad, thank you so much that we get to take out the trash. I think it's funny. They get to live at my house. And they get to eat my food. So they get to take out the trash. Yes. I'm just saying, what if you began to change the very culture of your house? What if you talked to your kids about giving and you showed them the check and you showed them what you were doing and you explained to them, we get to do this. This isn't something we have to do. This isn't something we're supposed to do. This is something we get to do because God came and thought we were so special that he gave his son for us. He gave all he had to give us all we have. And so when he asks us to share, we don't respond as I have to do it. We say, thank you that we get to do this. That we get to be a blessing because you have blessed us. What would happen in your family? What would happen in your school? What would happen in your place of business? What would happen in your neighborhood if you adopted a get-to mentality? I'll tell you what would happen. Your life would be better. And it's not because God's going to love you more, but it's because you will love God more. here's the thing. You've experienced this and I've experienced this. Every one of us in this room have regrets in our life, right? Big regrets. Like regrets we don't talk about. Regrets we don't put on Facebook. Regrets we don't say, pray for me. Like real regrets. Like scars. Things that if we could do it over again, we would change them, but by the grace of God, we're getting through them. But we have regrets in our life. You have them, I have them. But you know what? I've never once in my life regretted being generous. Not one time. Do you know why? Because it's when we are our most like our Heavenly Father. He gave all He had to give us all we have. And so when we, in turn, are generous, not just with our finances, that's a step, but that's not what this is about. That's a step. Not just with our finances, but with our love, and with our mercy, and with our peace, and with our compassion, and with our gifts, and with our talents, and with all those things. When we see those not as things for us to collect, but as things for us to use to bless others. Well, folks, that's how you change the world. So here's my challenge for this week. My challenge. This week, live like you believe this value that we get to give. Live like you believe that we are a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. When you receive a blessing this week, don't think of it as something to hold on to, but say, okay, how can I use this to bless other people? God, what would you have me do? And when you do it, don't pout about it. Don't mope about it. Don't put on Facebook, guess what I just did. Say, guess what I got to do today? Guess what God allowed me to do? He allowed me to change somebody's life. Thank you, God. We get to do this. I'm telling you, folks. If Wellspring can become a place that is full of people that embrace a get-to mentality. You want to talk about being known for what we're for? What if we're known for that? What if Wellspring was known in Myrtle Beach as the church that was generous? I'd take that. That'd be pretty good. That we get to serve this community. Now, why would we do that? Well, because we are rescued people that rescue people. We've been blessed. So we're going to bless others. And because we know God blessed us with love and mercy and unconditional compassion and understanding, we're going to invite people to belong before they believe. Because God allowed us to do that. So we're going to let them do it. And then once they attend for a while and kind of kick the tires, we're going to move them from a row to a circle so that they in turn can learn that they've been blessed to be a blessing. And you guys are going to teach them. Not me, you. They're going to hear me talk about it. They're going to see you do it. They're going to see it. They're going to watch you work with their kids. They're going to watch you greet. They're going to watch you set up and tear down. Not forever, praise God. But they're going to watch you do that. And they're going to watch you. And they're going to see, hey, wait a minute. They're different. They love God and God takes care of them, but they don't keep it all for themselves. They use it to invite me. They use it to bless. Maybe I'm supposed to bless other people. Too. And we're going to be a place that embraces this idea that we get to give. So this week, everybody has a next step. I don't know what it is. For some of you, it is financial. For some of you, you have received financial blessing from God and you are not giving financial blessing back to God. You're not returning what He asks for. That's between you and God. But that's a step for you. Others of you, the financial, that's easy. But it's your time. It's your talent. It's that neighbor you need to forgive, the forgiveness you've received but you won't give. It's that relationship you need to heal. It's that understanding you need to extend. It's all encompassing. We receive everything in our life from God. And all those good things should flow through us to change the world around us. So as we close, we're gonna actually close with a song. And what I want you to do is I want you to sing these words and I want you to actually begin to think about this week. How can you be different? How can God move through you to change the world around you? How can you lead your family different? How can you teach your children different? What can you do to instill in your house this last core value of Wellspring Church that makes us who we are? This idea that we get to give. I'm telling you, you embrace it. You make it a part of your life. You'll never go back. It'll change who you are. And in the process, God will use it to change the world. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. Father, let us pray right now that you will make this message true in our hearts, that you will help us to embrace this truth, that you will make it real out there, that we will understand this idea that we get to give, that you gave all you had to give us all we have. May we do the same thing. May we give as freely as we receive. And in the process, Father, may we partner with you as you change the world. It's in your son's name we pray.
Thanks again for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.